The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
So with Turkey Day upon us, at least those of us living in the United States, we can be even more obsessed about the stuff that we put into our mouths and where it comes from. And let's face it, the source of our food is increasingly important to many people. Which country, which state, which farm? What was the turkey fed? How freely did it roam? Well, there's another way to source food. Here's Alex Galifant in New York.
When I was younger, I didn't think too much about what food I stuffed into my mouth, so long as there was lots of it. I know, gross. No longer. Now I want to know as much as I can about what's headed for my belly, what the ingredients are, where they came from, how they were put together. I can do something else, too. I can explore the words we use for food. Dan Jarafsky showed me the way. He's a linguist at Stanford.
You know, we speak these words and we just look right past them. And in fact, they're telling us the history of our culture and our globalization and the way we've been interacting for 1,000 years.
But most of us do look right past food words. I mean, you know, we're hungry. So I thought it might be fun to run a little experiment. I took my friends Adam and Jenny out for dinner at a local burger joint in Brooklyn. Adam just got a great new job. Seemed like a good opportunity. I asked them, where do common food words like ketchup and salad come from? What would they guess? And how about this one? Toast.
I want to propose a toast to Adam and the new job. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited.
Oh, and I had Dan Jarafsky listen in on their answers. So here we go.
Why do we use the word toast? I mean, there's toasted bread. Maybe there's something to do with breaking bread with people. You know, that's a term. Maybe there's something related to that.
That's interesting. Interesting.
I think it's probably some other word, or the root is like Latin or something, and we've now misspelled it, T-O-A-S-T. You know, it's like
could have been that. Could have been that.
So maybe it's like from like Middle English, and it's like tosta or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it was something like that they did with mead. Maybe you toasted your hops or something. Toasted your hops.
Oh, so close. Oh, Adam, the mead idea was so close. You were spot on the mead, but in the wrong direction. So it turns out that we used to drink in the Middle Ages sweetened mead with toast in it. The drinks of the Middle Ages were much more hearty. People got a lot more of their sustenance from their wine and their beer than we do now. So toast in wine was a very common thing. You see it in Shakespeare. Falstaff was someone who particularly loved toast in his sack. Then somewhere in the 18th century, it became the custom to talk about the society lady of the hour as if she spiced the party just as the toast spiced the wine. So we talked about her as the toast of the town. And then we began to raise our glasses to those people, the glasses which still barely had toast in them for not very much longer. And so that's the story.
Again, that's linguist Dan Jarafsky. All right, next up, the word ketchup. Dan, please keep listening.
I have no idea. It sounds like it just sounds completely made up to me. Mm-hmm. As though like a corporation came up with this word. It kind of sounds like catch up, but I don't know what context that would have with the actual condiment. And then where does it come from? I feel like I know this. I feel like it comes from like Vietnam or like some sort of Asian type cooking. It's sort of like sriracha fermented type sauce.
Oh, that's good.
So I feel like that's maybe where it comes from.
Wasn't there an episode of Mad Men where they were talking about ketchup? Because they were talking about catsup. It's catsup, right?
Right. They were. I remember that episode. But where does catsup come from?
Pretty good, I have to say. Your Vietnam idea was very close. So ketchup comes from Chinese. Jup is the Chinese word in some southern Chinese dialects for sauce. And ketchup originally was a fermented fish sauce. You stick fish in a vat and you put a lot of salt in and you go away. And it's made in Vietnam and Thailand. But it was also made in the southern part of China, the region that traded with Vietnam and Thailand. very nice in noticing the spelling differences, the fact that it's spelled in two different ways is usually a hint that a word comes from a language that may not have had the same orthography as us. So the fact that we spell it with a C-A-T-S or with a K-E-T-H tells us that it was borrowed from Chinese, which of course didn't use the Roman alphabet. And so this is the way that English and Dutch and Portuguese sailors and traders who first encountered the word had to figure out a way to spell it. And so they all spelled it in different ways.
Ketchup found its way to Europe and then, in the late 19th century, America. And that's where the tomatoes and the sugar got added. All right, one more. Salad. Jenny, why don't you start us off?
Salad. But sal is salt.
Right.
So that's not right.
Maybe it is. Sal is definitely salt. At another time, people probably salted a lot of things. I mean, I feel like we typically think of salad as something that's eaten cold or room temperature. It's not something that's necessarily warm. So I wonder if, like, something salted, which isn't necessarily cooked but is cured in some way with salt, maybe leads to the word salad.
Excellent. That is so great. Yes, you're so right. Salad indeed comes from salt, Latin herba salata, salted greens. And the word salt is there in so many of our words, sauce and salsa and salami. They literally all just mean salted, as does salad. So salad was salted greens. And of course, before refrigeration, salt was our major means of preserving. So words like sausage and sauces, these are salting ways to preserve foods. So sausage and sauce and salsa and salad and slaw, it's all the same thing, salt. And no wonder we love salt.
So there you have it. Food words signify much more than food. They reveal the ways people have borrowed from each other down the centuries, passing things along, this culture to that, transforming foods and ways of life along the way. So as you settle down for your Thanksgiving dinner, just remember, there's probably a little bit in there from everywhere. And what could be more American than that? For The World, I'm Alex Galifant in New York.
Having heard that, I now have questions about food name origins. Like, where did the words shrimp and prawn come from? They've always struck me as strange words. It doesn't help that British and American usage of those two words is different. I pride myself on my ability to linguistically switch it between the US and the UK when in Rome and all of that. But I cannot, for the life of me, sort out shrimp and prawn. I'm always asking myself, which one is bigger in which country? And then I start repeating the words to myself. Shrimp. Prawn. So odd sounding. Well, thankfully, someone has some answers to the etymology of those two words. I'll share that post at pri.org/language. And if you have one or two food words of your own that you'd like to find out more about, why don't you post them at the same place, pri.org/language, or on Facebook at the World in Words page, or tweet me. My handle is Patricox, PatriCox. Hope you enjoyed the pod today. Be sure to check out some of the other pods in the Soundworks network at soundworks.org. And if it's your thing, happy Thanksgiving.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor. The World in Words is also supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.